just before the reading, I'm just going to say a few things related to the passage that we're going to be looking at in John 11. Now, one of the reasons I love preparing sermons, actually, is because I come across various quotes. And I came across this quote this week. I don't actually know who it's by, but I found it. Suffering is the price we pay for being alive. Not sure what you think of that. It's quite bleak, isn't it? And I'm sure all of us, they would be in agreement that suffering is a reality that all of us face. Let us take the suffering that comes from the impact of a death. Statistically speaking, on average, 150,000 people have died today. And apparently a death impacts, on average, 9 people. But that doesn't even take into consideration those that it impacts indirectly. So that means that there are 1.3 million people today who are directly suffering the immediate death of a loved one. But that doesn't even include the ongoing grief. I'd be surprised if there isn't someone here today who hasn't been impacted by a death. And perhaps today you're right in the middle of that grief of death, of experiencing suffering, and you're questioning God, and you feel like that blanket of darkness and pain is hovering over you. And you're trying to work out, how is God working? You're trying to work out if Jesus is even there. You're trying to work out where your Christian hope fits into this. But this account that was written by John, I hope today will provide some assurance and hope. At the end of this account in John's Gospel, in John 20:30 to 31, John states, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Everything John has recorded in this book has been written so that people may come to believe Jesus, but also for followers of Jesus to go on in believing in him. So why don't I quickly pray again, and then let's have the reading that Alison will come and deliver. Father, we pray that by your Spirit now, you would help us to see Jesus more clearly, help us to know him better. And we pray, Father, that in the midst of suffering and death, you would provide hope and assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the reading is from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45, and you can find that on page 1077 in the Pew Bibles. John chapter 11, page 1077. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him.
Thanks so much, Alison. It's a pretty amazing passage, isn't it? And there's going to be 3 things that I'm going to draw out from it today that I hope will provide that assurance that I was talking about. And the first thing is this: Jesus' glory strengthens our faith. Jesus' glory strengthens our faith.
So here we are, right in the middle of John's Gospel, and we're at the point where Jesus is starting to face some fierce persecution. So much so that he's had to flee the area, and he's gone to the other side of the Jordan, away from it. So this is where we're at, and let's dig in. So verse 1, we're told that Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, brother of Mary and Martha, is really poorly. And word comes to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is ill. Word has come to Jesus of a man he loves, Lazarus, a friend. And actually, it's a family he loves. We also know he loves his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, I'm sure all of us have been on the receiving end of receiving news about someone getting ill. And if you're anything like me, you immediately are sort of filled with that sense of anxiety, of concern, of sadness. And what you want to do is go and help them straight away. You want to support them. But Jesus' response to hearing news like this is quite striking. Look down to verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. To me, these verses don't really make sense. Lazarus is clearly very unwell. And we're told Jesus loves them in verse 5. And in fact, loves Lazarus. Then we're told, verse 6, what did he do? He stayed where he was for 2 more days. It makes no sense, doesn't it? You'd be thinking, go, Jesus, just go immediately, heal your friend. You've done it before to multiple people. Do it again now. Go. You might, in fact, think this is rather callous of him. How can he surely love them? How can he give up all that time to heal other people and that not heal someone he loves, a close friend? But we do know he does eventually go. And he says to his disciples, let me read from verse 11. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Why on earth would Jesus stay for another 2 days? Lazarus has died in that time. Does he really love Lazarus? Does he really love Mary and Martha? But Jesus goes on, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. This seems bizarre, doesn't it? We're told that Jesus loves him. And in fact, he wanted him to die. He wanted him to die so that those around him may do what? Believe. Believe in what? Well, I skipped a verse earlier. Look down to verse 4. This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus is not concerned about Lazarus dying. Jesus wants his glory to be at the forefront of what is happening. He wants Mary and Martha and the disciples to see his glory. Think about it this way. If Jesus went immediately, he probably would have got to Lazarus when he was ill. He probably would have healed him. And you know what? Everyone would have been great. Thank you, Jesus. But by letting him die, knowing that he was going to sort out that issue a little bit later, he is showing something more of him. He is showing that he's even more glorious than they can comprehend. They know he's a great teacher. They know he's a great healer. They know he can do spectacular things like feed 5,000 people. They recognize that he isn't a normal human. But right here, he is showing that he has the power over death. He is showing that he is not great, just a great physician, but he holds Lazarus's life right in his hands. Jesus wants his glory to be on display to them. And Jesus recognizes that it is more loving for Mary and Martha to see his glory than for Lazarus to just be healed. Why? Verse 15, so that they may believe. So that they go on believing. So that their faith is strengthened. So that they see how glorious and majestic he is. And the same is true for us today. Jesus loves us by showing us his glory. He loves showing us more of himself. He loves showing us his character. He loves us delighting and worshipping him. He loves us believing in him a little bit more. Perhaps you can remember a time when you faced some suffering, perhaps a chronic illness, or just that sort of situation that seems totally unsolvable. And you can remember that in those times of suffering, you're just asking, Jesus, just sort it out immediately. Please help me now. But there was a pause, no change. Nothing happened, suffering still present. But eventually the issue does resolve. And you look back at that situation, and you can see how Jesus has revealed something of his character to you in that delay. You perhaps saw something more of Jesus' glory, his character, his nature. And now you just believe a little bit more. And you look back and you see how your faith has been strengthened. Maybe today you're right in the midst of a real struggle. And you're thinking, Ben, hearing that sort of encourages me. And you get it. You've heard it multiple times from Christian brothers and sisters around you. Keep pressing on Jesus. Jesus is teaching you lots in this moment. Just hold on. You might not be able to see it, but just keep going. And if you're anything like me in those moments, you're a bit like, great, yeah. But it's still tough. But the next thing we're about to see about Jesus is pretty epic. And that is this. Secondly, Jesus' compassion meets us in our need. Jesus' compassion meets us in our need. So here we are again. Jesus is now on his way to Lazarus. And when he arrives, he finds out that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And we're also told that a number of Jews have come with Mary and Martha to comfort them. Word has clearly gone out about this situation. But on Jesus' arrival, Martha hears and goes to Jesus. Mary actually stays behind. Martha goes. And when Martha gets to Jesus, she says, look down to verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. It's a very interesting response from Martha. She shows an understanding that Jesus has the ability to heal and that he can relate to God and God will give him what he needs. However, you cannot ignore the slight frustration in her voice. It's almost like she's saying, why on earth did you not come? If you had come, my brother would have not died. In many ways, it's a response I would imagine many believers would have towards Jesus. When confronted with death, I'm sure many have asked that question. Jesus, I know who you are, but why didn't you sort it out? You can feel the grief that Martha is experiencing, the pain, the sadness, and the frustration at Jesus. But Jesus' response to her is utterly remarkable. Jesus says to her, verse 23, look down, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha is clearly looking forward to that resurrection day, and she understands that. Then Jesus probably says the most unbelievable words ever uttered. Look down. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus does not just promise resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. He is saying to Martha, those who come to me in belief now will find life forever. Jesus acknowledges that physical death will occur. But he completely transforms the history of medicine by saying, belief in me will mean that you will never die. Jesus is compassionately drawing alongside Martha by saying, Lazarus, though he is dead physically, he is alive. He is really alive, and I'm about to prove that to you. He's saying, do not fret, Martha, do not worry. Jesus draws alongside Martha here, providing life-changing words. Words that provide compassion in her grief. Words that still her fears. Words that drive out the fear of Lazarus' death. Now, you could spend weeks alone on this verse, but unfortunately we don't have time. But perhaps this week you could continue to reflect on that verse and just think, how did Jesus' words of compassion to Martha impact me? But I'd love to draw your attention to what happens next. Verse 27, Martha says she does believe this statement and recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. She then goes back to find her sister Mary and tells her sister, the teacher is here. Mary at once goes, and we're told she goes with a crowd, Jews, in fact, who were comforting her at the time. When Mary gets to Jesus, she falls at his feet. Grief has understandably gripped her, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Exactly the same thing that Martha said. But how does Jesus respond this time? Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus' character and nature is really at the forefront now. The language of deeply moved would in fact be better translated as indignation, outrage, and anger. As this death of Lazarus confronts him, he is angry. He hates what he is seeing. It cuts him right to the core. Jesus sees that this is not how things are meant to be. We have a Savior who hates death and who also knows what it is to feel the pain, trouble, hardship, anger, all those emotions that come with death. But we also see a Savior who draws alongside Mary in her emotion. His reaction to the same question expressed by Martha and Mary is different. With Martha, he provides words of compassion. With Mary, he doesn't use words. He weeps with her. He feels her pain. And he's also angry at what he sees. Jesus knows what each of them need in their grief and pain. Friends, this is hugely encouraging. Jesus knows exactly what you need in your grief and pain. He will draw alongside each of us. He will compassionately meet us in our individual need. So perhaps you're in the midst of grief and suffering, and perhaps you're struggling to see how God might be using this for his glory. But please don't think Jesus isn't with you. Jesus knows. Jesus compassionately engages with you in your midst. Go to him. Martha and Mary question him. They go to him. And he provides compassion. Keep going to Jesus. And thirdly and finally, more briefly, Jesus' power is the only antidote to death. Jesus' power is the only antidote to death. So Jesus is now at the tomb of Lazarus, and he asks the stone to be rolled away. He's actually been reminded that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and there's going to be a horrible stench coming from that tomb. But this doesn't deter Jesus. He reminds them in verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Then Jesus talks to his father, expressing his desire for people to believe in what they're about to see. And then he calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And what happens? wrapped in linen, the man who was dead walks out. And verse 45, those who had seen this believed. Modern medicine has changed the world we live in. Infectious diseases have been rid of. The ability to transplant organs, advanced diagnostic procedures, robotic surgery, cancer treatment, gene therapy, the list could be endless. However, no doctor has solved the problem of death. Every single one of us here today will die, whether you like that or not. And nothing can stop that. However, there is a man. There is one person who has changed the course of medicine, who has solved the biggest problem for humanity. Jesus. He not only says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he proves that he has the power over death by calling Lazarus out his grave. He not only proves that he can do this for Lazarus, but he proves that he can do this for anyone who trusts in him. Not long after this miracle, he took himself towards his death, an excruciating death, where he bore our sin and iniquity on himself on the cross. But death could not hold him. 3 days later, Jesus walked out of a tomb. Death had finally and fully been defeated. And where is Jesus now? He is alive. He is ascended to glory. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day he will come back. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him will never die. Yes, every single one of us in this room will die physically unless Jesus returns in our lifetime. But those who trust in Jesus, your bodies will die, but your being, who you are, will never die. There will not be a millisecond when you will be without Jesus. Let me say that again. There will not be a millisecond when you will be without Jesus. Over the last year, both my father's parents died. For both of them, death looked pretty miserable. In my dad's grief, he turned to me and said, "The words from Psalm 23 became really real for me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." My dad kept on reading these verses to both his parents when they approached their deaths. He wanted them to know that Jesus was walking with them. Death is hard. Jesus weeps at the sight of death. But Jesus is not only our shepherd guiding us through that, but he is also the life giver. Imagine this piece of paper here is death. Imagine this thread here is your life. And imagine the needle on the front of this thread is Jesus. If Jesus doesn't return in our lifetime, all of us face this barrier of death. But those who trust in Jesus, this will happen. Jesus will pull us through death and bring us to eternal life with him. In my dad's distress, he knew that his parents were very much alive now. Jesus' death and resurrection gives us eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Let me pray. Father, today, whatever struggle we are going through, may you strengthen and encourage us to know how glorious Jesus is, to know that he compassionately walks with us, and that death is not the end, but the start. In his name we pray. Amen.
Ben, thank you very much. In response, we're going to sing, Do Look With Me, at the words of verse 2, talking about the Lord Jesus. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Please do stand to sing as the music starts.